The start order is 1-7-4-2-3-9-8-5.
The Extra Lap RC Podcast.
This is the Extra Lap RC Podcast. My name's Aidan Burke, and as always, I'm joined by the quite recently done Mrs. Joey Cockle. How are you doing, Joey?
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm fine, mate. How's married life?
No different to engaged and single life, to be honest.
That's going to change soon. That's going to change soon, mate. That's, yeah, maybe, no way maybe. That's staying like that. Maybe. And we'll not be funny. We're going to ask you that every week.
No, not a problem. But
Martin may turn up in the future. He's actually helping out the other podcast at this moment in time. You know, me and Joey think that's a bit off because I'm not being funny. You've all read the title. You've seen the picture before. We are speaking to our legend, our goat, Neil Cragg. Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
How are you doing, guys? You okay?
I'm fine. Joey's in some sort of delusion that his life's not going to change now he's got married.
I would like to say congratulations. And I did see some pictures on Facebook and you were looking super fly.
Thank you very much. I was drowning in nerves and sweat.
No, you look good, man. I like the suit. It looked nice.
Thank you.
I said that, Joey. I said I like the suit. You didn't believe me when I said that suit, but Craggy says it. You're fine.
It's not often Neil pays me a compliment, that's all.
Especially not on dress sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, probably.
No, Joey, obviously, Craggy's much older than you,
Oh, I don't know about that. What, you 36 now?
Oh, I wish, mate. 39, 40 in 2 months, mate.
You can do the vets. Jesus Christ.
I'm going to add another if my plus 40 is world championships in my title, but I'm just going to leave off the plus 40.
I remember, Joey, that Craggy can't enter the vets this year.
No, not this year. Next year he can.
Yeah, maybe even a year after that. Something along those lines.
I'm sure Dad's looking forward to that.
Yeah, I bet he is.
You're not
telling all the 50-year-olds to get out of the way.
I'm sorry, this is not where we still wanted to start the questionnaires, but night sister, you're not turning up to the vets at any time, are you?
No, I'm not, mate. It wouldn't be very fair on them, would it, to be honest?
No, I do say it's one of the most stressful thing, not for me, obviously, but it's one of the most stressful mornings of a race meeting when you see a load of, off the top of my head, Andy Woods, Kev Lee, Nathan Rawls, those kind of guys, all sort of waiting round to see who's the quickest over 40 who turns up.
We had something similar when we used to do the junior nationals, and they were so hard. And I'd done nationals for a few years, but you had the junior finals at the end of the year, and it was the top five from each region got a place. And me and Dad always just say they were the hardest races because it was just same thing. It was stressful. Everyone was similar age, and racing was good, and you wanted to be the top, under 13 in the country. It was they were really hard work then.
Well, okay, so 25 years later, we're at Milton Keynes Grand Prix. We're in a shopping centre. It's -3. The snow walking from our hotels to the shopping centre. How do you think the weekend went for you?
Yeah, it was all right. It was pretty good. When did I finish? I finished fourth in two-wheel drive, which was about right, really. The front three, Tommy, Orleski and Bruno, they were just a little bit, they just had a little couple more tenths a lap faster than me. So I finished fourth. I would have liked to have finished on the podium, but I would say that was about where my pace was. So relatively happy. I made the final in four-wheel drive. I've not done a lot of four-wheel drive carpet running going in. So I thought if I made the final, I'd be pretty happy. So it was overall, it was a good weekend. I always enjoy the MKGP, and this year was no different. It was good to see everyone I'd not, a couple of people I'd not seen for a while. And yeah, it was good. Really enjoyed it.
So how happy were you when you heard some, obviously you didn't watch the first like heats of practice, but you're like, you're sat at your table and then you hear all this like kerfuffle as people are running back to their tables when they see these first heat cars just have no grip, can't turn in. Are you sitting there going, hang on, this is a weekend of Craggy this?
A few people did say that because there was like a little bit like a grip and everyone, and people were saying, yeah, this is all you, this mate, you're going to be all right. Yeah. And, but to be fair, it was pretty stressful because like you say, you said, I've done loads of practice. I've done like 3 or 4 meetings at Bury getting into the car fit racing, and I was really, really happy with how the car was going. I was pretty confident turning up, and then you call the first couple of weeks and you thought, Jesus Christ, no grip. I'm going to have to change everything on the car. So you were rushing around through practice. I'm going to guess it was the same for everybody. Everyone's changing the car frantically. And then as the grip came up through the meeting, you just gradually changed it back a little bit more every round to your carpet setup. The track was really good. I thought it was an awesome layout. And the surface was dialed. It was like I said, first year was a bit, it looked a bit strange, but it drove fine. And then as the grip just came up, it got grippier, but it didn't get like ridiculous grip rolling everywhere. It was a really nice, consistent grip. And at first I thought he'd dropped a bollock at the start, but it ended up, surface was great, track was great. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it did that kind of, the busyness of the first day sort of got us through the entire weekend, that, you know, people were spannering, making changes, you know, people saying such and such has put a ball diff in. Now, are you listening to any of that, or have you already got your plan in your head? You know, it's there's clearly no grip out there. I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, pretty much. I work quite a lot with Jamie Hall. And a little bit more with Jamie than Tommy, but we just backed and forth. But I kind of took Jamie's advice, but then I kind of just did my own thing. I had a good idea. You know, I didn't go crazy with setup. I just changed a few little things, battery position, axle height, and stuff like that. Nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. A little bit different, you know, different towing, and then gradually, as every round, I just changed it back slightly more to a more traditional car itself. And my car was pretty dialed, to be honest. It was good all the way through. I was pretty happy with it.
You seem quite happy through the weekend. And then I'm going to pick you up on something you said at the beginning. You said, oh, I've done a few weeks at Bury on carpet. I'm not being funny. That must be near enough your busiest carpet season for years.
It's the most carpet racing I've ever done.
Yeah, I know.
In a winter, I think I did 4 meetings, and that is the most carpet racing I pretty much ever do. To be fair, I've really enjoyed it at Bury. The track's really cool. It's a massive track, world's mm-hmm. biggest straight. Competition's been good, track's been good. I'm not a big carpet fan, as most people know, but I've actually really enjoyed. I really enjoyed the racing in there. It's been good.
Yeah, well, you got a bit old hat. Like, I'm not being funny. The first time you turned up, I get a message from Tommy. Oh, Tommy, like, oh my God, Craggy's here. Let's go. Gonna be great. And then, like, after the third or fourth time you've been, he's not even texting me that you're there. He's not even interested. It's been all, though, I think the last round, did you win that one at Bury?
Did you beat
Skidmore?
Yeah, Skidmore was there. Yeah, I'd done him in final.
He absolutely don't. And obviously, he lives on carpet in the winter.
Well, I mean, that was the one. So we've been running the low-profile front tyres, and I think it really helped our car more than most. So I was quietly confident going to the MKGP, and then that was the one. That was around before where they said, oh, you're not allowed to do the tyres.
Right.
We worked all week, all day, that last round at Bury, trying to get the car faster on the standard tyres. And by the end, I thought, yeah, this is it. We've cracked it here. It's going to be dull, but then when you got to the MKGP, it was irrelevant because nobody had any rear end action.
there was nothing. And then, do you think it's fair, like, that idiots like me, when we see it's a bit slippy and slidey, I was chatting to somebody else going, yeah, maybe not just yourself, but we're going, maybe Bootsy's got a chance, because obviously Elliot doesn't want any carpet. But he's turned up with his S-Works mates, and he looked really quick in practice.
He was pretty good all the way through, to be honest. To be fair, you give Elliot a good car, and he could wheel it around on any surface. I know he doesn't. He did a little bit of practice on the carpet, you know, same as everyone did. But yeah, he did all right. He did good. I think S-Works cars are pretty good on the old carpet stuff, and he did well. He was fast over two laps. I think he just missed both finals, but he wasn't fair. He did okay. Did pretty good.
I think when I was speaking to near the end, and he was like, "Oh, I just missed it. Someone just made one too many errors. Otherwise, I would have been there certainly in four-wheel drive." But it did just show how big or how good the event was that it wasn't easy. You know what I mean? There were so many quick people there.
Yeah, it was still. It was a big meeting, wasn't it? Some of the names that missed out. They were pretty big. So. Yeah, I was like, and when you saw some of the Americans were good coming over, it was good to see. It was good that Schumacher brought over Cavalieri and Brock, because that, you know, I know he's not been able to be as he's not been able to stay as good as I have, obviously. But he's good for the a lot of the English guys have never seen Cavalieri, so I think it was pretty good for them to see a true, you know, legend of the sport.
Yeah, we can call him the GOAT. It's fine.
He's won four world championships. He's done pretty good for himself.
Yeah, he's done okay. He's done okay. And then, so two-wheel drive, we're supposed to be talking about the first leg of the air. And a couple of questions that we got raised this. Like, I don't mind asking you any question, mate. You know, you've always been great with us. But, like, it was the biggest cheer of the weekend when you took the first leg of the A. And like, I'm sure someone talks about, I think maybe even Russ Lee might have messaged us and said, like, Scotty said, it's like he's rolled back the last 15 years. Is that just Scotty just building it up for the crowd? You know?
Yeah, he's good. When you get a big crowd in, Scotty, he can't beat him, can you? He riles them up good. He gets everyone excited and gets everyone pumped in it. It looks and sounds awesome. It was pretty cool.
Because I was sat like with some other fellas, like we were actually snuck right in front of the rostrum, like probably underneath where the ref was. And like when you're worn, I'm not joking, like me and four other grown fellas literally jumped up and down, screaming and shouting.
It was cool. I enjoyed it. You know, I was. It's a shame that I kind of fucked up in qualifying, and you know, yeah. I should have qualified. Probably, I was kind of battling with Lee for fourth on the grid, going into the last round, and I made a mess of the last round. So I could have been fourth. I should have been at least fourth or fifth on grid, and then I want to give myself a bit more of a fighting chance. But I mean, to win first leg from seventh was pretty cool. I didn't actually pass any cars; they all just crashed out, and I just kind of just drove around with a cigar in my mouth. And it was a pretty, it was a nice tight track. So I thought I only had three or four laps in the end. And I just thought, nothing crazy. Don't leave any gaps. You can't pass me. We're all good here. And yeah, it was pretty good. I really enjoyed it. But then you cross line and you think, well, can't win from seventh again. So what's the point?
Well, it's kept all the old men, like the RC people, happy anyway. And then, like, sort of like, I don't know if it's like the last lap and a half, and it's Michael behind you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. I know he's quick, and he's like, you don't feel like he's going to just drive through the back of you, do you?
No, not all SK. He's a very fair racer. I've spoke to him quite a bit in the recent months, but he obviously did a nationals last year, and he said he really enjoyed them because he really enjoyed the battling in the finals between like me and Lee and Tommy. But he also said he really enjoyed how fair it was. You know, we're all pretty good on the track. Obviously, mistakes do happen, but I felt I was in the same boat. I've really enjoyed racing against him in the last year on our national series. But we've had some really good close racing, but it's been clean. And so, yeah, I knew that I was never worried that he were going to do anything silly.
Is there anyone you're ever in a heat with and you think, I want to get out of here?
Just let me out.
What you mean, like, because they're absolute animals?
Yeah.
You know what? I used to be. I never really liked staying in front or behind Bruno because he's so fast, but he crashes quite a lot. So he can be so rapid, but then he could crash and he could end up right behind you, and then you're stuck in the. Do I let him through, or do I try and stay in front of him and risk a little knobble off? He used to be a bit. He used to be a lot worse, but he's much better now. But he's so fast, but he does always have a crash in him. So if you're starting around him, I'm thinking, oh, if he has a bad first lap or a bad second lap, and then he could ruin your race. But that, you know, that happens, unfortunately. Nothing against Bruno. I got a lot of time for him. He's a nice guy. I just think he's a bit wild on track sometimes.
Yeah, I think certainly in like the early EOS days, he said it himself, hasn't he? Like, if he lost a position, he wanted to take that back at the next corner. Didn't matter where there was another car at the apex or not. I think it definitely has changed.
Oh, he's I think just because he's raced a lot more off road in the last few years, he's kind of grown into it more. And I mean, to be fair, I never have no problems with him. It's just it's more of the qualifying thing because he's so fast. Because he's so fast, he's a bit of an accident waiting to happen. So he used to be a bit of a pain, but he's fine now. And everyone's top guys. They know who's who, and you don't see a lot of problems, really, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing a good few years ago. It was a national. I think it was a Telford, and I don't know which either you tapped Lee or Lee tapped you. For the lead, and it was clearly the other one just waits, sorts itself out, and away you go. It's like, yeah, we're not gonna win, but after making that kind of accident, as we're pushing and pushing and pushing, and it's great to see that it's not just because for years I sort of thought it was like you and Lee, but it does seem to have like filtered down to all the newer national eight finalists who we've seen in the last few years. That it does seem to be, they all seem to be quite well behaved.
Yeah, I think just as a country, we're a bit more. We have a little bit less gamesmanship, as you would say, you know, from some of the Europeans. So you know, like Tommy, Ben Smith, they're all good kids. They're all fur racers. The Holdsworth, you know, they're all pretty good. So it's good to see.
Yeah, and then moving on to four wheel drive. Do you feel better? Do you feel worse? Was it easier? Well, for me, it felt easier because the grip seemed to be much similar to what we were expecting.
Yeah, it was all right. And I mean, I made the final, which I was content with. I was good enough. I'm never gonna win. I'm not a big fan of four-wheel drive on carpet. It's absolutely insane how fast they go around.
Yeah,
and I'm too old to be competing with all those gear on carpet these days. So let's say I was pretty happy to make the final. I wanted to be a little bit higher, but no complaints. It was I was pretty content.
And then that
was all right.
Well, the thing I've got from MKGP was I really did feel like what you professionals, you superstars go through, because it was such a long day. You know, every other sort of race meeting, even if I go away for the weekend, like we're all finished at 6:30. We're all in the pub next to the Premier Inn at 7:00. You know, we've had our steak and chips at 8:00. We've had 3 pints of Guinness and we're in bed by 10:00. But MKGP, I don't know what time you guys were finishing. 9:30, 10 o'clock?
Yeah, we're a long day. I think on the first day we finished, I think the last qualifier was on at 9:30. And it was the fourth round of two-wheel drive. And it's 9:30. I had a good run. I couldn't quite keep up with, I think Tommy TQ'd it, but I couldn't keep up with Tommy, Bruno and Mikel. But that was a really solid fourth, about 2 or 3 seconds behind him. And I come off rostrum and as Craig said, it was not too bad. And I said, that was a 40-year-old man driving at 9:00 at night. That was pretty good. It wasn't too bad.
Way past his bedtime.
I was pretty happy with it because normally when you get past 8, 9 o'clock, and you're just thinking, concentrate. It can get quite hard. So I was relatively happy with that. It was all right.
Yeah. So what do superstars like yourself do at that point. The race is finished. Back to the hotel room. Are you going out for something to eat? Are you eating just in your room? Are you just going to bed?
I went back to the hotel and had a couple of beers with Graham Hall and Julie Hall. Just sign. Well, we already had something to eat because it was too late to go and get some food. So we just went back to the hotel and had a couple of beers and debriefed and chatted shit and, you know, same as what most people do, really.
Well done. Well done. I'm sure you were in a quiet
house. I do like to get back to the hotel just and, you know, have two or three beers just to chill out.
Joey doesn't know this yet, you know, because like we're away from home, so we can do what we want. If we want to have three beers, we can have three beers.
Just helps you sleep better, doesn't it?
Just help you sleep better. Don't sleep better. So like MKGP, done and dusted, indoors, I assume. Yeah, totally all done and dusted. One of the things I've got on my list is like, it's a world year.
Yeah.
You know, you going to Arizona?
I am slated to go, yeah. So it would be, you know, you went worlds in America. You've got to go, really, haven't you? And it might be my last 10th scale world, so it would be nice to go over and see all the Americans one last time. So okay. Yeah, I mean, I should be going. Unless something comes up, I don't think, you know, I should be.
The plan is. Is that our answer, the plan? So then that then leads me to the next question. Does that mean you're not going to the world's warm-up?
I don't think so. I'm a bit tight on holidays. I want to do the 8th scale Euros as well. And then with the 10th scale Euros and the worlds, I'm a bit tight on holidays from work. So warm-ups have to be put up back burner, unfortunately.
But you've been doing this for 25, 30 years. You don't need an extra few days round there, do you? It'll all just come back to you, won't it?
Yeah, you never lose it, man. You get 8 practices, so...
That's it?
You have an entire day for practice, don't we?
Yeah. We'll get 8 practices. I'll be fine. It's going to be tough no matter what because it's in America and it's Rifkin's home track. So he's going to be tough to beat. And the thing is, when you're racing in the States, you gotta add about an extra 10 people that you don't really know about who are super fast on that surface.
Right.
You know, if you take them out of America, you go to somewhere in Europe or Asia.
Joey could beat them. Joey could beat them.
Not that bad, but
yeah. Oh, whoa! Hang on a minute.
But in the States, yeah, when they're in the comfort zone, they're pretty tough to beat. So. It's going to be a really hard event, that one. Really hard. And I heard Lee went and did a bit of practicing a couple of weeks ago, and he said the surface was really hard and the track was difficult. And he said it's just going to be really, really, really difficult to make the final. So we'll see what we can do.
So my thoughts then, are you looking... So in some ways, do you not care? Like, do you not, in the nicest way, do you not care what it's like when it gets there, what the tyres are like, what the cleaning regimen's like? It's the same for everyone. Let's just go. We've got 8 practices. Or I'm trying to think of positives. Like, if we're running slicks with no additive, well, that doesn't make any difference to you because you don't run slicks with or without additive. Like, do you know what I mean? Is it going to be... Can we take positives from the rest of the Americans who are used to running slicks and additive on that thing? And everybody's got this new fairness going in.
Yeah, I would say it's positive because it should be something that they're not quite used to. Like I say, they run with slicks and additive. I don't know the tyre is, I think it's AKA tyre, right?
Yes.
Nominated. So, I don't know. You know, maybe the surface will be different. I'm hoping they don't additive. What they should have done, they should have just done some silly and done like, oh, you have to run ribs and hole shots, which is what they never ever run.
Yeah,
that would have kind of made it really fair. But it's as long as it's the same for everyone. No one's doing anything crazy. No one's doing something silly with the tires. Then that's all. I mean, if you can, the fairer you can make it, it's better for everyone. So. That's what I
and,
But I'll take from that.
And then us flying our big Union Jack here. Like, it's always, do we want craziness to happen beforehand? You know, all these people who think they're going, all these fast Arizonans, all these fast Americans going in here. We want them to turn up thinking, and we want Jake Thayer at Hobby Action to do like a loop the loop or something in there just to freak everyone else out. And then it just comes down to who has the coolest head, who keeps it together, knowing that this is the world's final.
He won't build a crazy track, Jake. He's he knows what he's doing. Yeah, he always builds a good track. He used to do the track for the Reedy race, and he's pretty good at it. I know Jake for a long time. He's a really, really nice kid. Really switched on, top guy. He's good pals with Mayfield. So he won't do anything crazy. It'll be a good world. They'll put on a good show. There'll be something silly. The Americans like to do something a little bit strange. Maybe one rule might get overlooked or something like that, but it'll be a good world. The facility looks pretty good. It looks good enough. Like when it's an indoor clay track, you're always worried that they're going to be like 15 second laps, but it actually looks big enough where they can get a decent, a decent size track in there. So looks okay. It should be pretty good.
Brilliant. And then, go into that other terrible class you do, 8th. Are you all ready for your season to start?
Not at all, mate. I've raced it once this year. I missed the last national last year because little Rupert Meister was only a couple of weeks old. So I had to miss that. And then I've done like one meeting in January or February. But the weather's been tough, hasn't it? So it's really hard to get out and actually do anything yet. It just seems like... I need to get down to Westmill, and I need to get to Blackpool to do some running, but nobody seems to be quite ready for the summer yet. So we've got Bradley Cup this weekend coming, and then a couple of weeks before first national, and then I'll be bang into 8th scale because I'm raring to go with 8th scale. Last time I raced in January or February, and I forgot how much I missed racing it, and I was just racing on Astro turf. So yeah, it's I've not done much, but I'm looking forward to getting back outdoors with it.
Okay. And then I think that's like your only change we've seen in a Craggy sponsor for ages. You're now running Hot Race tires.
Yeah, that's right. The last 2 years, if you've not been running Hot Race, you've not been competing in Europe, basically. I've been with Proline for about 40 years, and they've always been really good. They've always been the tire to have, but then you just noticed in the last 2, 3, 4 years, they've just taken their eye off the ball a little bit, and they've just kind of just settled on what they've got, and other companies have just come in and moved it on a little bit. And like I think of the world... last year in Spain, like 11 out of the 15 air finalists, they run the Hot Race tyres, so it's a no-brainer, really. So looking forward to getting out there with the Hot Race tyres, yeah.
So that was it? It was just like, this is what you need to run in Europe now, you know, on our oiled dirt tracks, this is it, Hot Race.
Yeah, like you got the Hot Race, there's the 6 Mick tyres that are kind of specialised in, it's all about the, because of the oil tracks, basically. Proline, they don't really have anything for it. They have the clay compound, and sometimes it works okay, but then sometimes you can be, you just nowhere, basically. We did a national last year at Brookthorpe, awesome track, really cool, oil track, and it was raining on and off, and when it rains on oil track, it's 20 seconds, 30 seconds a lap slower. It's ridiculous. But it was a miss all qualifying. And in the last round, we had like a drying track. And I run my Proline tyres, and Skidmore run, I think he runs 6 Mick tyres or the Hot Race tyres. I had a perfect run, and I was like 12 seconds behind him. That's the kind of difference that it can make. It's become a bit of a tyre game with 8th scale. Doesn't matter how good your car is, how good your engine is, how good your driver is. Tyres aren't working, you might as well pack up and go home. So it's the first time I've ever actually had to make a decision where you know, I've not just gone, I'm happy where I am. I need, I've pretty much done that my entire career. But it was the first time where I've gone, you know what, we need to move. If we want to compete and we want to compete at the top in England, we need to make changes. And that's what I did. And thanks to the guys at Hot Race and Matt Box for helping me out.
Okay. And I hear they've got some lovely hats. So you could wear your hot, you can wear your Hot Race hat with pride.
I've got options of my hats now. I've got the Hot Race hat, I've got my Reedy hat, Associate hat, Alpha hat. I've got a hat for every day of the week, mate.
It's not be funny. You're just doing that to rub it in to me because, like, my head's literally is physically so big, I can't get a hat that fits.
You can keep. Yeah, you've got one hat that fits. What's the one that you always wear?
I tend to wear composite. I wear composite kit hat. But if you send me a hat that fits, I will literally wear it. That's the way it goes for me.
No, I've only got like a golf ball head, so yeah. I'm okay with that.
That's fine. And then Brad obviously highlighted the season, Bradbury Cup, racing with Joey this Sunday at Robin Hood. Just had to get a bit of practice in. You don't need any practice at Robin Hood for the first round of the Nationals 2 weeks later, do you?
I do, actually. I'm a little bit worried because last time I raced at Robin Hood, I got my ass absolutely kicked, man.
Yeah,
and I still drive to work and I still ride to work and I still go over in my head where what I could have done differently.
Really?
Yeah. It's one of the what's that? How do I put it? Don't have many regrets from racing.
Yeah.
I have bad results, same as everybody, but that was one where I'll think about it for a long time, where what went wrong and what I could have done better, because I was just nowhere really. I mean, two-wheel drive, I was really confident going in, and from the second we put the car on the track until the end of the last final, I was never comfortable, never confident that I was fast enough to win. And I always do well at Robin Hood. It's my track. I've been tough to beat there for years. Won many nationals, super confident going in, and it just, nothing worked. And yeah, I've thought about it at length, and I can't quite put my finger on where it went wrong, but that's racing, unfortunately.
Yeah, like if I was a proper journalist, I'd just then go through a couple of other times we've had terrible results and had time to think about it. But I'm not, honestly, Joey, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to that. But before Joey gets some questions that people have asked, I can remember, was it Eden Park where you made a mistake and then had to spend 12 hours in your car thinking about your mistake on the way home?
Yeah, that's right. It was a four-drive national, and all I had to do was drive red in the last lap. And I was like a second behind Danny McGee, and we weren't going to catch him, but I was trying to catch him. Crashed, and I think Cocker's got in front of me. And yeah, it cost me the win, basically. It cost me the win on time. And I was just like, fucking idiot. Because I think because Lee wasn't there. And if Lee wasn't there and you don't win, that was, you know, at that time it was silly. It was drop points.
Yeah.
And then I got stuck on the motorway on the way home. I had to sleep on the motorway all night. And yeah, it was pretty depressing.
Yeah, okay, mate, but like with 30 years and all this stuff, and like it takes my memory of times you've had bad results to pick them out the hat. I think we're doing okay. Joey, have you managed to find any questions for Craggy?
Yeah. There's one here from John Skidmore, you know, the lovable rogue that he is. Yeah. Is 11 mil ride height acceptable on a buggy?
Mate, it shouldn't be, should it? that's what you run on carpet and four-wheel drive. It's obscene. It's just like skateboards going around. It's like glorified touring car. But that's what, you know, that, maybe I was running 12 mil, but I know Marcus next to me was on 10, 11 mil. It was literally on the floor.
That's disgusting.
On carpet, yeah, it's ridiculous, but that's what you have to do on carpet with four wheel drive.
There's another one from Dave Dalton. I don't personally know him, but some might. Who has been your favourite rival to race against through your racing career?
I think that's pretty. It's a pretty easy answer. Well, to be fair, since I first started getting good at nationals, I've had stages where I've had a different rival at different stages. Like when I first started getting good, competing for nationals, Ellis was the main rival, and maybe Ian Kennelly and Graham Allsop, and I had to overcome them, and then it was somebody else, and then it was somebody else, and then Ellis actually came back into it as we went to mid-motor. But obviously, my toughest rival and my greatest threat as for maybe the last 10 years at least has been Leroy. I don't think that's any surprise. He's been a absolutely fantastic racer. He's had made an amazing career for himself. He's probably made me a better driver than I had to be, especially at national level. He really made me, you know, step up a couple of levels. I could have taken it easy, but he made me better. So yeah, he's been a great friend. Brilliant racer, and he's definitely the toughest rival I've ever had.
I think I've obviously grown up watching you two, and like you say, you felt he's obviously pushed you, but I think you've pushed him as well.
Yeah, I think we pushed each other. I think we made each other better racers, you know. So
No, you go. You carry on.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe without me, Lee probably wouldn't have won as many Euros as he's won, and vice versa. So it was, yeah, he's been a really, really tough driver to race for the last 10, 15 years. I think whoever came out on top at the particular event, I think we were both man enough to say, yeah, he deserved it. It was very rarely where someone was clearly a lot faster and the other guy won. So yeah, I've enjoyed our battles. It's been good.
It's always going into whatever national it was always, which one of them's going to win today? Who's it going to be? There's not going to be any. Obviously, there's been a few, like Kev Lee's won a national in the past, Danny McGee, Cocker's has obviously gone. Cocker's won a championship at one point.
It was the year that I didn't do nationals, that's what we'll say. I always like to remind Cockers about that.
Oh, Jesus. That's harsh. It's harsh, but I'm typing that to Cockers right now on Messenger.
I said to him, yeah, I don't do nationals for 1 year, and you're like, Cockers win, bloody hell.
There's been like a few names that have obviously taken national wins and stuff, but you know, it's always ended up being you or Lee that's won the title at the end of things.
Yadi was good. Yadi was a bit unfortunate that he was at his peak when me and Lee were battling, basically, because I think Yadi did probably deserve to at least have one or two national championships. He was a great racer, but yeah, definitely Lee. He's been. My toughest rival,
and I always say Yardy. Well, I've always said that to him when he's come on. Like, what's it like being known as the third best RC driver in the UK? And he always said like he was so proud. He still is so proud and privileged to like know that he was only ever beaten by you two. Do you know what I mean? During that great stretch, and he had national wins and things, right? Any which other questions have you got? Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Jamie Dawkins, what? Why have you stuck with Associated through everything? You must have been times when Infinity have offered you a load of money or something, or you know, the B5M was terrible when everyone else had like lay down gearboxes. You've never moved, have you? Ever?
They're the coolest brand, mate. They're American. That's what I thought in 98 anyway. No, to be honest, mate, they've always treated me very well. Since day one, they've been absolutely perfect to me. And you'll be pretty surprised to notice that I haven't had many offers, to be perfectly honest. I've not been, I've not had companies throwing themselves at me. I think maybe I'm hoping because they know that I've always been super comfortable at Sourcefeed. Nothing, no one's ever come in with a ridiculous £100 million transfer deadline day offer. So I've never really thought about moving. As long as I was happy, and I always have been happy, they've treated me right. They've been good with me. They've been good with my family. So I've never even thought about moving, to be honest. Not for 1 second, really.
And does then that move into one of the other questions that somebody asked was, like, which I'm just trying to find, it's Ben Ellis's. Like, he says, he puts it this way, apart from Craig Jesher, who else was your RC hero? But, like, how important is Craig being there all the time you've been there? Because, like, if we think you're, like, a legend, and then I just see Craig Jesher walk around MKGP pits, and he's, like, 6 foot taller than anybody else.
Yeah, he's an absolute... Well, he's a legend of the sport. He is RC racing in England, and especially in the 90s and noughties. Yeah, Craig was my idol growing up. As a little kid, I used to read the magazines, and Craig was always number one. So, you know, I think when I did my first national, just basically stood outside his tent all day, just looking at his car. And you know, I've been very fortunate to, you know, grow as friends and teammates. And yeah, he's a very good friend of mine now, and he still looks after me even after all these years. Absolute idol. And I do love him. But the other person who I love in racing as much as Craig is the guy from, he used to do 10 scale, but now he does 8 scale. He's a guy called David Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave him my first big sponsor, really, or medium sponsor. So there's a company called Mirage back in the 90s, and they distributed Team Orion and Corrale motors and batteries. So he used to work for them, and he came to the, I think it was like an F2, you know, end of season F2 finals.
Yeah.
It was at Bury St Edmunds in like 94, I think. And he came especially to see this 9 or 10 year old kid, because he'd heard good things about him. And he gave him my first sponsor there, and he basically looked after me on and off the track from them. You know, we used to stay at Dave's house quite a lot, and he races 8 scale now. He still does the nationals, and he still looks after me even now. And he's been a teammate, he's been a friend, but he's more than that. He's more family now. I think of him as like a second dad or mm-hmm. or an uncle. He always looks after me, and he'll be someone who will be a good friend of mine for the rest of my life. So yeah, I always think, if anyone ever asks me this question, I always say Craig's the idol, but Dave's also someone who's an idol and who's looked after me in my entire career. So I'll always be thankful.
Cheers, Joey. Have you got any others?
One more from me. Colin Kershaw asks, how do you feel about the United versus Liverpool result from a couple of weeks ago? He has a feeling he already knows the answer, but it'll still be fun to poke anyway.
Well, he can piss off because I talked to him about it at MKGP, all right.
Yeah. Joe, you won't know this, but we don't talk about copites on this podcast. All right.
No.
Jamie Buchanan wants to know, can he simply have your thumbs? Is it your thumbs or is it your head?
It's Mick Spanner in the background.
No, it's not Dad. I've been making his shoddy setup for good for years.
Oh,
no! It's all in the head, mate. It's all in the head.
Okay, I don't really understand this, but it's Dan Austin, so we get this anyway. Do you own a signed picture from the real goat?
This is absolutely brilliant. This one. When was it? A couple of weeks ago. I needed. So we've been putting, I suppose I should keep this a secret, but I don't think anyone really cares. We've been putting the X-ray slipper in our four-wheel drive.
Right.
And it's a bit of a bod's job, and you need a few different parts. Like you need a Yokomo centre drive shaft and a Techno centre drive shaft. And I think the Techno outdrives. So I ordered them from whatever company
RPRC, yeah, is that one?
Yeah, that's it.
Dan Austin,
yeah. Dan must work for him.
Yeah.
Package comes, and he says, it's addressed to Neil, the GOAT, Craig. And I open it, and there's a black and white big picture of Dan Austin signed by him as well. It was really I'll send you guys a picture after. It was brilliant. It really made me laugh.
Genius. I like that.
I think it said like from one goat to another. Dan Austin.
Thanks, Dad. We love you a lot. Lanza, what's the best? What from Matthew Gill? What's the best Xbox gamer tag you've ever heard of?
I don't really. I can't remember any of them. I've not played on my Xbox in years. But mine's Valentino46.
Okay. I just thought there must have been something else. Clearly, are you still an Xbox person regarding a PlayStation person?
I'm still an Xbox guy, but to be honest, mate, I've not played on it in a bit. It's in Attic, and if I ever get a chance to play on anything computer like, I have my Oculus, my VR headset, which is pretty cool. But as you know, Adrian, these little babies that you have, they take up a lot of your time, don't they?
oh God, please, and don't make me cry. What's a must? Like, only got a couple more. What's a must? It says, what's a must he always does to any two-wheel drive buggy when he gets it? I think what we've gotten there for is there any part of a car that you always pay special attention to that you think is really important more than any other? Is there a bit that falls off more often than other ones?
No. No, not with the kits these days, mate. They're all built good. So I don't really pay any special attention to any particular bit. If you make sure the disc's right or whatever, but make sure the drivetrain's free. But, you know, the quality has gone is so good these days that you don't really have to do anything special to the car.
Okay. And then... I'm not exactly sure about this, but Duncan Natchez says he's got a four-wheel drive shell of yours. He seems to say he found it in a bin. I don't know if that's a joke or something along how one of your four-wheel drive shells got into a bin, but his son Oliver Natchez has got it now. So he just want to know next time when you're at the Nationals at Robin Hood, they'll be looking for you to find you to sign your shell for Oliver. I'm sure you'll do that as the superstar that you are. Mate, that's probably all we've got. Oh, I'll be honest, we've done nearly an hour. Is there anybody you'd like to thank before we let you go?
Just my sponsors. I can't list them because it's too late and I can't remember them all.
He's got baby brain.
It's an hour past my bedtime now.
Okay. And then
just the sponsors. Thanks for everything, and to Papa as well for all the hard work and all the hard years. Loved every minute of it,
mate. And we are. I don't know. I don't know if it works in your real job. I don't know whether they understand that there's 10,000 people around the world. Because if they hear the word Craggy, they just smile. Because that's it. And it only works in the little world. But thanks for your time this evening. Thanks for being you. Thanks for putting up with Joey on Sunday at the Bradbury Cup. And we know that, you'll smash it at the Nationals, you'll smash it at the Worlds, and everybody in this country wants you to win every time. Craggy, you're a superstar. Speak to you later. Bye, mate. Bye.
Cheers, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was brilliant, as always, talking to Neil Craig. Great to hear him. Great to just spend some time on the telephone and listen to his thoughts. We're all super happy. Thank you very much, Neil, for your time. And if I'd done some real prep, you too, because Martin's turned up, I'd be able to thank everybody who turned up to our phone-in show last week. I haven't even said it to this two, you two. That was our most listened to show on the first day that we've had for 12 months. Nice. We had
it will definitely change when this episode comes out, though.
Well, I don't know. Honestly, mate, that'll be funny. We were just short of 500 listens on the first day. Okay. Yeah, and sorry. Normally we're about 350, 400. Okay. So, clearly, thanks for everybody who turned up. If I'd leave you guys a little secret, everybody who turned up on the show then messaged me later on that week going, oh, can you cut my bit out? I didn't think I was any good. Okay, which I think is good because everybody said the same. So thank you very much to hashtag all my mates who joined us last week. And we might work on that and do something similar in the future. But Joey, we are joined by Mark Nowen. Hi, Mark Nowen. How the hell are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Two podcasts one night.
So I'm sure Craggy doesn't listen, but if he does, he's going to turn off by now. So now, do you want to give us the excuse of why you went on a different podcast rather than talking to Craggy?
Well, I get to talk to Craggy quite a bit anyway, so it's no, like, I know you two get excited about it, but it's just normal for me.
Hang on a minute. I'm not Aiden. I'm not no peasant.
and the Grid Talk wanted to, have me on, so
they wanted to talk.
I thought I'd go share our love with the world of RC.
Okay. Yes.
You both got a mention, and not in a horrible way.
Oh well, we planned to be incredibly. Yeah. I'm not being funny, Joe. All I'm going to say is we've all been on their podcast. Oh, we're inviting none of them onto ours. Do you know what I mean? There's levels. But yeah, so thanks to Craggy. Thanks for everyone else. Thanks for everyone for listening. Thanks for all the feedback. It's been really good. We've got a few bits to talk about now. I'm going to go. Congratulations to Martin for winning the... Is it the Mendip Winter Series?
It was, yeah. I have a funny story, though. I wasn't meant to win it.
Okay.
Because I wasn't even meant to go. I didn't even know. That's pretty bad. Basically, I was meant to go to Swindon Sunday, but the weather looked horrendous. So I thought, I can go 10 minutes down the road and just race in the rain. And Freddie Russell was coming, so I wanted to catch up with Freddie.
Yeah.
So I raced TQ to one, and then someone goes, I think Gary Simmons goes, you've won our winter championship as well, by the way. So it was a bit of an added bonus. Obviously, nice. if I hadn't gone, I wouldn't have done enough rounds to count. That was the last round to count. And I don't think Keith Halsey was very happy with me. He just kind of looked at me and kept telling me to go away.
Oh, that was my next question. Who would have won if he had not turned up?
It would have been Keith.
Okay, well done. And Angus.
It was fun.
Well, I love Keith more than I love you, so that's fine.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Joey, we spoke about this briefly, but you're the Bradbury Cup next week?
Yes.
This week. Two or four-wheel drive?
Four-wheel drive for me.
Okay. Okay.
I need to get some four-wheel drive time under my belt.
I'm actually going to put it up there, and I'm never nice about Joey. I mean, come on, I mentioned our head-to-head total in his best man speech.
Nice.
Brilliant.
I think your dad thought it was funny, and that's all that matters. and my wife and Joss and Lauren. But I think with our new four-wheel drive, you are going to go well with that car. You will be fast. As much as I hate to say it, I think I will struggle to keep up with it with that.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to play mind games, Joe. I think he's trying to play mind games.
I know I destroyed him at work, and I'd never been there before. But
I'd also hang on.
When we get outdoors, he will be fast with that car.
When I went to Mid Devon, like Martin just mentioned, technically I TQ'd most of the rounds, but because Martin had some dodgy PT thing going on and they kept correcting his score, you know, they didn't do the old, we do it once and then it's your own responsibility afterwards. They pretty much did it for like three other rounds.
Yeah, but yep. It was pretty different. It's hardly a national.
Yeah, I know, but it's still standards, Martin. You're the emperor. You're supposed to set the standards for these clubs and winter series exactly. And whatnot.
Yep. I don't tell how to run their show. That's not
No, I know. But rules are rules.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, maybe. If they got rid of their wish transponder, their wish decoder, would be all right.
They've got a Vostok.
They have.
I was going to say they've got a Russian one, but I don't think you're allowed to have Russian things nowadays.
No, I think it's not Russian, but
is it Estonian or Lithuanian or something like that?
Something like that. I yet to see it work properly.
Oh, I'm going to work for everyone else except Mark Nowen, because that sounds like a big selling point.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, so go buy one. Yeah, everybody get one.
Vostok.
You know, I mean, come on, Aiden, it's the only way you're ever going to beat me. So yeah, you may as well.
Not being funny, mate. I'd need two Vostok decoders to beat you. Two Vostok decoders. God, imagine if I was fast. That'd be unbelievable. So anyway, Joe, you were talking about mid Devon fudging results so Martin beat you.
Yeah. Wow. It is what it is.
You're not there for the glory.
Martin was very gracious with his win, and he didn't tack that win onto the tally that he's got going on in his head.
Because there's so many, I just thought it was cruel. Yeah.
There we go. But yeah, okay. Bradbury Cup, four drive. Nationals, what, three weeks away? 2 weeks away?
Nice.
So, but then again, it's Robin Hood. How much more practice does anybody need around there?
When is the first national?
15th or 16th April.
I should probably know that. But
you should probably know that.
Yeah.
You've got people who tell you that, mate. You don't need, like me, you don't need the details. I'm going to just talk briefly. We had some track work at Southport on Sunday. I know I like to talk about, just think about if every person who raced RC cars did in the UK did half a day of work for their track through the year, all our tracks would look 10 times better.
They would, and that's a great lead to this Saturday. I'm at Mendip doing track work, if anyone would like to, attend.
Brilliant.
And I'm there 4 days of the bank holiday in Easter doing track work, if anyone would like to attend. Just contact me privately and I can tell you what time.
Brilliant. Sorry, I'm going to say one of the things that I think we've done quite well over the last 2 years at Southport is making sure that people understand that I know, like, I'll be there all, like, from 9 till 2, but you don't always have to be there 9 to 2. So I don't like to give my mate Borley any nice things at all. But, like, Borley turned up at, like, 9:30 and stayed till 12:30. And then had to go and do some family things. And then one of the other fellas had to do something in the morning. So he turned up at 12 and stayed till 3. And that really does even. And one guy just turned up for for an hour and then had to go. But just turned up for a short time during that. As long as you know, obviously we're Southport, so we've got all our jobs lined up. We had paintbrushes for fences, paintbrushes for apexes. And when people talk about, I don't know whether we can do it, Mr. and Mrs. Kirk were there, and they're both over 80, and they turned up and spent 4 hours painting the fence, the outside brown, ready brown fence at Southport. And they do that at ours. And I did share that picture into the Isle of Wight Facebook RC group, because I know they'll be going to the Isle of Wight for the summer, as they do every year. So please help out your local track. You don't have to turn up all day. You can turn up for half a bit. We glued some Astro, guys.
Oh, nice. Yep. I got to do that.
We've got our new tape. We've got our new glue. So we've done some taping and some gluing. We've taken one of the big, a Long Island out and made it to two. Probably won't affect you guys at National, but definitely gives us another option on a club day. I think it'll shorten our track even more. But thanks very much for the 14 people in total who turned up on our track day last Sunday.
That's a number.
14 people, mate. I'm not being funny. Barry had similar numbers the week before. We are quite lucky, and that's the bit I'd like to get. It's important for clubs to make sure there's jobs that everyone can do. You know,
I did see a picture of Barry, like six guys lifting a bit of Astro.
Wow, how big was that roll of Astro?
Well, that's what we've got, so I'm wondering if we can lift it.
You take six people to lift a roll of Astro.
I mean, I have to admit, when I saw the Bury picture first, I thought, how have they done that? But yeah, there was six blokes actually lifting and carrying it. So
yeah, if one of them was Stuart from Bury, he could probably lift it by himself.
Yeah,
but it looked funny because the roll looks so, the Astro looks like quite fluffy, doesn't it?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure someone told me their Astro is what they use on dry ski slopes.
Okay. Our roll of Astro is the same as your straight.
Oh, is it? I went, that's what we call Verdi grass.
That's it. That's
and Verdi, I went to Mr. Verdi's house last week.
Oh, okay.
Because he's got no one's really interested, but like Mr. Verdi, the man who makes our Astro and apparently your Astro as well now,
yep,
on the straight, he like lives in a big house, and then next to his big house is like his barn. I don't know whether he makes it or stores it or does all those things. And he's the fella who comes out and goes, someone will be with you. And then I had to go pay the office for our tape and our glue to stick it back down. And he was the one. And he's like, are you Southport? And I'm like, yeah. And he hasn't made our Astro for a while, but he goes, oh, we know how to make it. So it's always there. So Verdi grass.
Yep.
From Verdi artificial turf. You could try and ask for a discount, but he does live in a very big house.
They did us a really good deal, to be fair, and we only bought one roll, so
excellent.
Well, I basically promised them that you wouldn't rob their house, so
they live on the random directions. They live somewhere between Chorley and Blackburn. So in fact, it's close to where Craggy lives.
Yeah, I'm sure Craggy lives. If I threaten anyone with a Scouser not robbing their house, they'll give you a discount.
They probably will. I'm not being funny. I think they've probably got, you know, it's a big house there. But anyway, and then the last bit for us is, are you at a regional this week, Martin?
I am at Swindon.
Hey, I saw some videos of Lee and Michael were there this week.
Yeah. That's handy, isn't it?
It's handy. Have you been to Swindon?
Never been there. I was meant to go. There's several times I've meant to go. I said this on the other podcast. It's not ever been intentional, but either the weather's been awful or something's like happened. I haven't been able to go. So,
okay.
First time will be on Sunday. So,
I'm looking forward to it. But we'll chat about that. We've got 15 heats at the Southport Regional.
That's crazy.
15 heats.
So does that mean that all the other regions, like all those racers will get, wherever they go, they'll get an entry now? Like they'll have to do 15 at the next one?
Yes. Maybe for another thing. I don't think others. I think there's some specific reasons why we've got 15. I think Bury Metro might get 15 when they have their regional in the summer. But like South Lakes and Ulverston, which are the other clubs, and Pendle might get over 100.
Okay. But so the you other guys two might start. When are you starting in the morning? Like 8 o'clock start racing, or
yes, yeah. Somebody has spent a lot of time and given us a spreadsheet on timings.
Excellent. Yep.
So we've got our committee, and then we've got some, like, I'm going to say helpers in the committee who help with IT and stuff along those lines in the Northwest. So, but yeah, I think we're going to like start. We have, is driver's briefing have to be before practice?
Ideally, yes.
Yes. So I think we will have driver's briefing a 7:45.
Excellent.
To start practice at 8, which means we finish at 6.
Okay.
Last time I looked. Something along those lines. But like we've got a national a couple of like 4 or 5 weeks later. You know, it's the first thing you could book into in the Northwest. Everyone wants to start the region strong, and we didn't want to turn anybody away.
No, it's great. It's great. And I'd like to know how it goes, because you know, there's a few regions that are hitting big numbers, and we don't want, like, we don't want anyone not to race. So,
yeah,
you know, it'd be great to, great feedback. That will be.
Well, again, I think that's it. 15 heats. That was the main thing. We didn't want to turn people away from our region just because other people have, like, you know, it's nothing bad, but some people start doing four-wheel drive. And so I think we've got like four heats of four-wheel drive. So we want to keep them. We might need to do some options in the future, but I think it's a really good start. And we're really looking forward to it. Yeah, that's the Northwest with 16 heats at round one at Southport.
Well done, Chris Cherry.
Well done, Chris Cherry.
And everybody else.
And everybody else who gets involved in that little group. And also, I have to say, well done to our Southport lot for being quick. Other options were, we run four-wheel drive on the day before, we stop people doing two classes, things along those lines, but we kind of got this as the best answer. So that's perfect. Is there any other news or anything we need to go through before we say goodbye?
Not that I can think of.
Not that you can think of.
Have you talked about composite kit tonight?
Yes. No. Even Craggy mentioned it.
Craggy mentioned it?
Excellent.
Craggy knows what hat I wear. That's lovely. So, yes. This is the Extra Lap RC podcast. We are sponsored by Composite Kit. If you're going to get any carbon fiber stuff, you might as well get it from somebody who that's their actual job. And at the last round of the Midwest Regional, got in the A final. Kit Jones. Check out Composite. He is a legend. Composite Kit. He does hats. He does carbon fiber. Speak to him. I know he will post around the world. Okay. Yeah. That's one, Composite Kit. Two, Joey, I think from now on, we're not going into it. Please listen to other podcasts. But I think we should do, before we end every podcast now, we should ask this question. Martin, are you currently the president of IFMAR?
Not currently, no.
You are not currently the president of IFMAR.
No.
Okay.
That might, you know, it could change, but no.
Could change. Could change. So if anybody would like to be the 10th section chairman, we might need one, only because Martin may need to be the president of IFMAR. Please check out all the other podcasts for then. Joey, as you helped out speaking to Craggy and doing the questions, would you like to thank your sponsors?
Of course I would. As always, thank you to hashtag Schumacher family, all the guys at Schumacher, Factory Fred Racing, Screws for RC and RDT, and as always, the old man.
Brilliant. Please like and share the podcast. Please like and share all the podcasts. Guys, I know who we've got next week, and you two don't. Would you like some clues?
Go for it.
One, I think he may have been at MKGP, but I don't know. I'm not 100% certain. Two, I had to check the Hagberg rule, but I think he passes.
Does his name start with an O?
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, and his name starts with an O. So next week, we will be speaking to Night Kids, Night Now. Bye, you two. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.